I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Hey everyone, welcome to Let's Get Civical.
This is the podcast that breaks down politics, government structure, and dives into the context of current events, but in a super fun way. I'm Lizzie Stewart, comedian, feminist, and political junkie.
And I'm Arden Walentowski, former Senate intern, campaign staffer, and political strategist.
In this episode, we're talking about the Supreme Court case, Bush v. Gore.
So grab your hanging chads.
And let's get civical. Hello, everybody.
Hello, hello, hello.
Welcome back to Let's Get Civical. I'm Lizzie Stewart.
And I'm Arden Walentowski.
And this is our last episode before Election Day 2020. Bah, bah,
bah, bah, oh, my God.
Isn't that crazy?
That is insane. I hadn't even thought of that.
Yeah, because Election Day will be next Tuesday. I don't even know what episode we're going to drop on the Wednesday after. We'll have to figure that out.
It has to be something entirely random.
You guys, it's going to be so random. It's going to be so random because, quite frankly, what exactly are we supposed to talk about?
Seriously.
On November 4th, 2020.
Without any information about what is, I can't.
Right. Right. Since there's a good chance we will not know the winner by that point.
We have to do an episode on like the Liberty Bell, like something completely innocuous.
Just the Liberty Bell. Something very uncontroversial.
Yep.
The belle herself, the belle of the ball, the belle of this country.
Oh, my God.
That's not a bad idea.
It's really not a bad idea.
Okay, guys. You know what? There's an 89% chance that it's going to be about the Liberty Bell, because you tell me what you would talk about. Because we have to record it before election day, and it comes out after election day. And we're not going to make asses out of ourselves like we did with Iowa. We're not going to do that again.
We're not reliving that trauma. That was entirely too much.
Exactly. So no matter how November 3rd goes, we can all agree on the Liberty Bell.
Yep.
And so that's what we'll do.
Okay, great. At least we have a plan. At least we have a plan now.
We have a plan. We have a plan. Speaking of plans, you guys... We can say this one more time. Have your voting plan. I was telling Arden that I had to go to plan B for my voting plan because my absentee ballot, New York State done messed it up. So now I'm going to plan B and I'm going to go vote early in person. Not only have a voting plan, but have a backup to the voting plan.
Yes.
Just in case. Just in case. So please make your plan. Check on the other plans. I want to see plans left and right. We're very excited about plans here.
That's very exciting. My voting plan is I'm voting on the day. And
we love to see it. We love to see it.
I'm voting on the day. My voting plan is to go super early when the polls open with my cup
polls
of coffee.
Polls open super, super early.
Mm-hmm. They open super early, 6, I think, in New York State.
Yep.
And so if I can get in line and get in there and vote, and get out by like 7:30. That's what I'm going to do because
great.
I will need to do my 7:30 gym class that day.
Perfect.
Because I will need it for my mental health. But if it feels like I'm going to be past that time, I'll go work out and I'll come back later. And it's going to be fine.
A backup plan to the plan. You know what? Everybody needs to remember that as long as you are in line,
yep,
you will be able to vote. The polls here in New York technically close at 9 p.m., but if you are in the line at 8:59 p.m., you will get to vote. It doesn't matter if it takes until 11 p.m. or midnight for you to get to the actual kiosk. You will be allowed to vote. So stay, hashtag, stay in line. There's probably going to be long lines. We're seeing a lot of long lines. So come prepared. Wear a comfortable shoe.
Yes.
Bring a little, a water bottle, something to do, a podcast. I don't know, perhaps this one. Sudoku, the newspaper. Call your mom. I don't care. Just have something. Have a plan of what you're going to do in line. And please, 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 please be so, so kind to your poll workers. Because you are waiting in line for 3 hours and they are also going to be waiting that amount of time. Like they're going to be there from 5 a.m. to possibly midnight because they can't leave until everybody has voted. So be so, so kind because these people are the reason we are all being able to vote. Okay?
Wow. Yes.
I'm
exhausted. That's so
sweating.
Long. That's such a long day for the poll workers.
It's such a long day.
That's such long day.
That's what it is. You gotta,
that's what it is.
You
it
gotta
is what it
do.
Is.
You got to have the people there so the people can vote. You know?
So
in the spirit of the election, when I texted Arden this idea, it was because this is probably the only time we're going to feel like talking about this godforsaken court case is appropriate.
Yeah.
Like there's no other, I'm like, when else are we going to talk about this?
Yeah.
Like this is the moment. So obviously we're talking about
this is the dramatic moment of the movie right now.
Dun, dun, dun. Mm-hmm. Bush v. Gore 2000.
Yep.
On the year 2000, Bush v. Gore, Supreme Court case, pretty much I can argue changed the course of political history.
Oh,
this decision.
So
like crazy.
Political, social history, my history, your history.
Yeah.
All of our histories changed.
Yeah, one of the most impactful court decisions from SCOTUS that has happened in modern times, I would argue.
Yep.
We've talked about it on, I feel like, almost like all of the SCOTUS biopics that we've done, obviously, of the justices who were present at the time.
Yeah.
This is one I've always brought up because, you know... some were in the opinion and some were in the dissent. And we're gonna really look at who did what and who said what.
Yep.
And why this court case is so, well, I don't want to use the word landmark because I don't like the case, but so impactful, perhaps.
So pivotal.
Pivotal, thank you. Better word.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's, hold on, taking another sip of my coffee before we really dive into this.
Yep.
Okay. All right, guys. Before we dive into it, I just want to remind you that if you like what you hear, please rate us, review us, and subscribe to us. We just charted in Malaysia, and I think that made my entire week. So quick shout out to our listeners in Malaysia.
Hey.
We love you.
Mm-hmm.
I would die for you. Such a fan of you and your country and everything you're doing. So thank you for listening. It's been carrying me through this month.
It really has. She's posted about it a couple of times.
Look, I
do
when,
it
when people
do
listen.
It. We appreciate.
We
love posts.
I am
do.
Not shy about we the support be, and the fans.
It is much more. It makes me so much more happy to know that I'm not just talking into a microphone for like my own edification.
just you and me.
Just me and Lizzie. It's basically like we're recording our own conversations as human beings. But it's helpful to know, and it makes me so happy to know that people listen.
Listen, they're listening.
They like us. They really like
us. Keep listening. Please keep listening. But please rate, review, and subscribe because we love you so, so much. Now, let's jump right into Bush v. Gore. And so these notes are going to be coming from, of course, the love of my life. Oh, yay, oh, yay, oh, yays.
Yep.
It's also coming from Britannica and Cornell Law School. Shout out to Cornell.
Yep.
So just a quick little basic overview of this case. So on December 12th, 2000, the Supreme Court of the United States reversed a Florida Supreme Court request for a selective manual recount of that state's U.S. presidential election ballots. The 5-4 decision effectively awarded Florida's 25 votes in the Electoral College and thus the election itself to Republican candidate George W. Bush. I mean,
yep.
And this is why, and this is December 12th.
Yep.
This is December, this is 12-12-2000. So you guys, when you think about the moment arrives that will probably happen, which is we will not know the winner on November 3rd. If people tried to tell you that that is unheard of, it quite simply isn't, because not 20 years ago, it was December 12th that this was officially decided.
Yep.
Now, I hope to God it doesn't take until December 12th for us to have
God
a winner.
I hope to God it doesn't go to the Supreme Court, because
I hope to God it doesn't
it
go to the Supreme Court.
It will not be favorable for,
but
dare I say,
that
democracy.
Is, but that's the thing that people talk about, that it might go to the Supreme Court, and that's why it's also good to bring up Bush v. Gore, because it's also the most recent time that's happened.
Yep.
You know, and we've talked about what happens when Congress has to decide a winner.
Yep.
Now we're talking about what happens if SCOTUS technically has to decide a winner, which is effectively what happened in Bush v. Gore.
Yep.
So just got you guys, there is precedent for all of this crazy shit that may happen in deciding this 2020 presidential election. It's going to be so stressful.
I know. I have to be really good on election day and not do what I did before, which is drink everything.
Don't drink.
In my immediate arm's length of reach.
Yeah. It's going to be incredibly stressful. I encourage everybody to stay off social media. That is, I mean, post your thing about getting people to vote. Make sure the people in your circle are voting. After that, get off social media. It is poisonous. It is poisonous.
Mm-hmm.
So post your thing, post your story, make whatever, and then get out.
Get out.
Take a walk after
and
you
don't
voted.
Don't watch
like,
the news all day.
You're not going to know. Like, even if this was a normal election start, like think about 2016, we didn't know until about 1 a.m. So you're not going to know anything. And you're just going to watch all of the polls and the predictions. And then you're going to start seeing things where it's like, oh, you know, Trump is winning this one or Biden's winning this one. And there's like 12% of the vote reporting, which is not inaccurate. Like, you have to wait for the votes to actually come in. So just stay away. Stay away.
It's going to be hard.
Call a friend. Call your mom. Take a walk. Take care of yourself. Meditate. Work out, you know, eat a salad, like just take care of your mind, body, and soul. Like there's no, you're not gonna force an outcome or force a result by just swiping and refreshing. It's not gonna happen. Take care of your mind.
Yep.
I'm exhausted from my rants already. And we haven't even like gotten into the meat of this. This is, oh my goodness. Okay.
I love it.
So, okay. Let's talk about what had happened leading up to December 12th, leading up to this Supreme Court decision. So this is coming from Botanica. So on the evening of November 7th, 2000, a clear winner had yet to emerge in that day's U.S. presidential election between Bush and Democratic candidate Al Gore. Print and broadcasted media cited often contradictory exit polling numbers, and the races in Oregon and New Mexico would remain too close to call for some days.
Remember when Oregon was a swing state?
I was in New Mexico.
Oregon is a swing state.
Oh, Oregon God. And New Mexico. Just coming in.
Just coming God. In.
Oh my God. Shout out to Oregon and New Mexico.
Yep.
But ultimately, the contest focused on, you guessed it, Florida.
Oh, God.
Networks initially projected Gore the winner in Florida, but later they declared that Bush had opened an insurmountable lead. Gore called Bush to concede the election, but in the early hours of the following morning, it became apparent that the Florida race was much closer than Gore's staff had originally believed. I mean,
yeah.
Can you imagine being like, I concede, going to bed, waking up, wait a second.
I take what, back like, my concession.
Who was the staffer who told him that it was over? Like, yikes McGikes.
Yikes McGikes.
Fewer than 600 votes separated the candidates, and that margin appeared to be narrowing. Around 3 a.m., Gore called a stunned Bush to retract his concession. I would give $1 million for a recording of that phone call.
Oh, fuck yeah.
You'd be like, eh, George? I was drunk when I said this earlier. I take it back. I take it back. Take backsies. Take backsies.
Take backsies. I take it back. And you know what? I'll see you in court.
I'll see you in court. According to Florida law, a machine recount of all votes cast was required because the margin of victory was less than 0.5%. In this race, the gap appeared to be roughly 0.01%. That is crazy.
Crazy.
Also, this is such a great lesson in like, your vote matters.
Yeah.
Like it came down to a couple hundred of votes.
Yep.
Granted, in Florida, but it doesn't matter. You don't know what when it's going to be your state where it matters.
Yeah.
Like they're talking about Texas being a swing state. So it's like, yep, it could be anybody this election. Not you
us,
guys.
But you know, not us.
Not in New York. Okay. But still, your vote matters.
Your vote matters. Things on the ballot as well. Make your voice heard. But like.
But it's really anybody's game.
Yeah.
Both campaigns immediately dispatched teams of lawyers to Florida. Charges of conflict of interest were leveled by both sides. Bush's brother Jeb was the governor of the state, and Secretary of State Katherine Harris was the co-chair of Bush's Florida campaign, while State Attorney General Bob Butterworth headed the Gore campaign. So they got people from every side. There's so much mismatching here.
There's a lot of
oh my God. Also, Jeb Bush. Remember Jeb?
Good gracious. Jeb! Exclamation point. That poor
Jeb!
Guy. Jeb!
Oh, Jeb.
That poor Jeb, guy. Jeb. I just... Man. What if we had Jeb right now?
What I...
Jeb would have listened to Fauci. Jeb would have been like... Hey, sure. Ford. Respirators. Now, please.
Respirators now. exclamation point.
Jeb!
By November 10th, the machine recount was complete, and Bush's lead stood at 327 votes out of 6 million cast. So Bush is leading by 327 votes.
My face
machine recount.
Hurts.
I know. Your face is
after
gorgeous.
After that number. It like makes me so
327. 327. And again, guys, so the election was on November 7th. The machine recount happened on November 10th. So that's 3 days out from the actual election. Continuing on, county officials tried to discern voter intent through a cloud of, quote, hanging chads, which are incompletely punched paper ballots, and, quote, pregnant chads, which are paper ballots that were dimpled but not pierced during the voting process. So these are ballots that they're like, there's something not quite right with these ballots that the machine is not able to count them. I mean, we don't punch ballots. I mean, I don't know if Florida still punches ballots anymore, but we like... In New York, we like...
We bubble.
Circle them
in. We take the SAT. We bubble
them. We take the SAT.
I remember the hanging chads. I mean, like, I'm a little bit older than you. I was, like, 15 when this was happening. But, like, I remember the hanging chads thing. And, like, it was... Like, they would show these pictures of ballots on the news. And it would be, like, you know, on one level plane, like, Bush. And then the next plane, Gore. And then, like, the voting, like, the mark for where they were supposed to mark it was, like... Outside of the circle or like in between. Sure. And you're like, what's the distance? And I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the county officials are trying to discern voter intent through hanging chads, pregnant chads, and as well as, quote, overvotes, which are ballots that recorded multiple votes for the same office, and, quote, undervotes, ballots that recorded no vote for a given office. God, I didn't want to be on this. Can you imagine having to look at the ballots and be like, oh, it's a pregnant chad. It's a hanging chad.
It's not
chad.
I can't. Like, there's no certification in this. This is like people's opinion. It's not like you go to like hanging chad school and get a certificate from like Harvard University's like Kennedy School of whatever.
Of chads,
that's like, how do you determine? It's just people's fucking opinions.
People's opinions of chads. The people versus Chad is what this court case should have been called.
Oh my God.
Continuing on, also at issue was the so-called butterfly ballot design used in Palm Beach County, which caused confusion among some Gore voters, prompting them to inadvertently cast their votes for third-party candidate Pat Buchanan, who received some 3,400 or 20% of his vote statewide.
This is just a big problem. Like, it's this is problem. Why Gore won Florida.
Sure.
He won Florida. We should have had a President Gore. God. If we had a President Gore, we, like, oh my could God. You imagine so, climate change? Could you imagine,
Iraq?
Could you Iraq? I feel like gay marriage might have, like, DOMA might have been overturned sooner. I just, like, there's so much. It just makes me so, we, like, really set ourselves back as a country.
Sure. I mean, it definitely changed the course of history. Because this is first, like, this is George W. Bush's first presidential run.
Yes.
So 9/11?
9/11?
Like, well, I mean, 9/11 in the aftermath, you know, like how it was handled would have been, I think, incredibly different because you wouldn't have had, you guessed it, Dick Cheney.
Oh, my God.
Who is Al Gore's running mate? I actually don't know this. Who is his VP?
I should know that. Who was his
VP? Let me see. I'm going to look it up. Senator Joseph Lieberman.
God, what, that's, you know, so funny. What an odd choice. I mean,
ever now met it Joseph Lieberman from Connecticut? Oh, my God. Yeah. Joe Lieberman.
Yep. Joe Lieberman. What a blast from the past, man. All right. Hope you're well. So then, so there's the voting and they're trying to recount the ballots and there's, you know, there's multiple issues happening in Florida. Understatement of anybody's life.
Sure.
There are multiple issues happening
in
Florida.
There's a lot going on. Nobody checked on her. Nobody checked to see how she was doing. And she needed some help.
So this is all still coming from Botanica. The Bush campaign immediately filed suit. And the U.S. Supreme Court issued a writ of certiorari to take up the case the following day. On December 9th, in a 5-4 decision, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in the case of Bush v. Gore that the manual recounts must halt, and it agreed to hear oral arguments from both parties. On December 11th, the two sides presented their cases. Bush's team asserted that the Florida Supreme Court had exceeded its authority by authorizing the recount of undervotes, and Gore's team stated that the case, having already been decided at the state level, was not a matter for consideration at the federal level. seems like a problematic argument to me, but because the whole point of the Supreme Court is to hear cases from a state
is to
level.
Oversee. It's not what I would have done, but you know. Nevertheless,
here we are. The following day, in a 7-2 ruling, the U.S. Supreme Court overturned the Florida decision, holding that the various methods and standards of the recount process violated the Equal Protection Clause of the U.S. Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
The court ruled 5-4 on the remedy of the matter, with the majority holding that the Florida Supreme Court's decision had created new election law, a right reserved for the state legislature, and that no recount could be held in time to satisfy the federal deadline for the selection of state electors. So basically they were like,
wow, 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 wow.
There's simply no time.
There's
we
no time
have a deadline. There's no way you could recount all of these ballots. And also by like the Florida Supreme Court is trying to like, they're trying to write election law by dictating.
They're legislating the recount. From the bench.
It's so funny how sometimes the Supreme Court is very pro that and other times very anti that.
We're seeing a lot of back and forth.
It's almost like they decide like when it suits them.
Sure. Could be. Could be. Finger on the pulse. Finger on the pulse. And it's interesting to see that like they made two decisions, right? Like the first one being like what Florida was doing violated the Equal Protection Clause. And then the second one being that like what to do about that. Like should they try to figure out a different way to recount or should they just allow the election to stand?
Yep.
And they were like, you know what? We're out of time. Election has to stand.
Yep.
Which is crazy because like talk about voter suppression.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about violating the Equal Protection Clause.
Yeah.
Just talk about it.
Just talk about it. Let's pull up a seat and talk about it.
Ooh.
I know. We should do an episode on the Equal Protection Clause.
I know. We always talk about her.
I know. We always talk about her. She just seems very heavy.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
she sure is.
It's like a creamed soup.
Get a grip. Get a grip. She's like a cream of tomato soup. She's like a bisque. She's like a chowder.
She is a rich heavy. Chowder. Heavy on the lobster, easy on the corn. This joke has gone nowhere. Okay.
We're going to take a quick break for a little word from our sponsors.
Facts of the case. Following the Supreme Court's decision in Bush v. Palm Beach County Canvassing Board and concurrent with Vice President Al Gore's contest of the certification of Florida presidential election results, on December 8, 2000, the Florida Supreme Court ordered that the Circuit Court in Leon County tabulate by hand 9,000 contested ballots from Miami-Dade County.
9,000 ballots.
I know. This is all coming from OEA. The Florida Supreme Court also ordered that every county in Florida must immediately begin manually recounting all undervotes, which were ballots, as you said before, ballots that did not indicate a vote for president because there were enough contested ballots to place the outcome of the election in doubt. Governor George Bush and his running mate Dick Cheney filed a request for review in the U.S. Supreme Court and sought an emergency petition for a stay of the Florida Supreme Court's decision. Like we said, the U.S. Supreme Court granted review and issued the stay on December 9th. It heard oral arguments a couple days later. The questions before the court were, 1, did the Florida Supreme Court violate Article 2, Section 1, Clause 2 of the U.S. Constitution by making new election law? Secondly, do standardless manual recounts violate the Equal Protection and Due Process Clauses of the Constitution?
Like, were they standardless? Like,
I'm sure
that they were like, yeah, there's no standards here.
Yes.
And I'm like, I don't know if that's necessarily true. They don't put me on the bench.
Or the standards were different by
County,
by election site, by polling site, maybe. I have no idea. I mean,
I don't know.
Standardless manual recounts.
Oof. Jeez. God. Go off.
I know.
So let's talk about the decision. I mean, we know the outcome, but let's sort of examine how we got here. So again, staying with OEAs, noting that the Equal Protection Clause guarantees individuals that their ballots cannot be devalued by, quote, later arbitrary and disparate treatment, the opinion of the court held 7-2 that the Florida Supreme Court's scheme? For recounting ballots was unconstitutional. Even if the recount was fair in theory, it was unfair in practice. The record suggested that different standards were applied from ballot to ballot, precinct to precinct, and county to county. From sea to shining sea,
yes.
Really, here?
Yes.
Because of those and other procedural difficulties, the court held 5-4 that no constitutional recount could be fashioned in the time remaining, which was short because the Florida legislature wanted to take advantage of the safe harbor provided by U.S. Code Title 3, Section 5.
Yeah.
Sure. Loath to make broad precedents.
I love OEAs.
The opinion limited its holding to the present case. Rehnquist, in a concurring opinion joined by Scalia and Thomas, argued that the recount scheme... Again, scheme. I don't know if we can call it scheme. God.
Scheme.
That the recount scheme was also unconstitutional because the Florida Supreme Court decision made new election law, which only the state legislature may do. Breyer and Souter, writing separately, agreed with the opinion holding that the Florida court's recount scheme violated the Equal Protection Clause, but they dissented with respect to the remedy, believing that a constitutional recount could be fashioned.
Yeah, and we're going to read some of Souter's dissent. In a little bit.
Love it. Love it. Time is insubstantial when constitutional rights are at stake. Ginsburg and Stevens, writing separately, argued that for reasons of federalism, the Florida Supreme Court's decision ought to be respected. Moreover, the Florida decision was fundamentally right. The Constitution requires every vote to be counted. I am all about that. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's like voter suppression almost to not count the votes.
Yes.
To say that we don't have time.
Yes.
And I'm like, I don't think the Founding Fathers could have ever predicted Florida when they wrote the Constitution.
No, no, no.
Do you know what I mean?
I think they would have taken a little bit more time if they knew that they were dealing with people who liked to shoot down hurricanes.
Sure. With the termination of the recount process, Florida's 25 electoral votes were awarded to Bush. Gore officially conceded on December 13th and stated in a televised address, quote, "While I strongly disagree with the court's decision, I accept it," end quote. I mean, yeah, what are you going to say?
What are you going to say?
You're at the end of the road. Like,
yeah.
There's nothing to say.
I mean, it's a shit decision. Like,
yeah. This is why I can't be in public office. Because if this would have happened to me, I would have gone on a televised address and been like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Who do you think you are? What have you read? The Founding Fathers could not have predicted Florida.
Well, and also stand up for the people in Florida to have their votes counted. Like,
sure.
Like, at the very least, you know, what are we really waiting on? Like, you know, throw some money at the problem. Hire some people to count the votes. Like,
I know. I'm like, what, you mean we can't get people in there? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Come on. Like, they could have come up with a remedy.
There's something
else. That's what
else
I take issue to.
Yes.
That's
me
what
too.
I take issue to. If you were make the argument that you're dissatisfied with the original way Florida was doing it, fine.
Yeah.
But to say this insane argument that there is no time for a remedy, we can put a man on the moon. What are you talking about? There's no time. We can go into space. Call NASA.
We took the time to, like, try to do the recount. We were in the middle of the recount. And then, hello, you halted the recount. And, like,
sure,
that took some time. And now we've been waiting for you to hear our arguments. And now we've been waiting for you to decide. You took up our time. Mm-hmm. We could have counted the votes and also done the court case at the same time. We are Americans. We can do two things at once. Let's do it.
Mm-hmm. Land of the free, home of the multitasking.
That's
us. That's U.S.
Us. That's U.S. dot. It's why we're suffering.
Yikes, McGikes.
I know. It's just like, and this is the Rehnquist court. So like we talked about, there are two cases. So for the first decision to like, was about these standardless manual recounts and whether or not they violate the 14th Amendment's Equal Protection Clause. So voting in favor were Chief Justice William Rehnquist, Sandra Day O'Connor, Antonin Scalia, Anthony Kennedy, David Souter, Clarence Thomas, and Stephen Breyer. Voting in the other side was Justice John Paul Stevens and Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. We know where we love her. So that was the first part of it. Then in decision two, which was about whether or not they should continue to recount, this was the 5-4 decision. So basically it's all those same people except David Souter and Justice Breyer. So the 5 in favor of stopping the recount and basically because
basically
there
like,
was like,
we don't have any time.
We don't have any time. Where Chief Justice William Rehnquist, Sandra Day O'Connor, Anthony Kennedy, and Clarence Thomas. So that was the decision. And we read some of the stuff from the decision, which is a per curiam decision by the court. And in the dissent in the 5-4 decision that we talked about, it was Stevens, Souter, Ginsburg, and Breyer. And so we're just going to read some of their dissents because
they each were like, I have something to say.
I have something to say.
Yeah.
And it's that this shit is fucked up. Mm-hmm. So we're going to read RBG's, David Souter's, and John Paul Stevens' dissents. And they're all great in their own ways, and they're just so bad.
Yes.
They're so mad. And it was really cathartic to read some of these and be like, okay, great. You were as dismayed at this as, like, most of the American people. Great.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And let's read Ruth Bader Ginsburg's first. So Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, in her dissent, said, quote, the court assumes that time will not permit, quote, orderly judicial review of any disputed matters that might arise, close quote. But no one has doubted the good faith and diligence with which Florida election officials, attorneys for all sides of this controversy, and the courts of law have performed their duties. Notably, the Florida Supreme Court has produced 2 substantial opinions within 29 hours of oral argument. In sum, the court's conclusion that a constitutionally adequate recount is impractical is a prophecy the court's own judgment will not allow to be tested. Such an untested prophecy should not decide the presidency of the United States. I dissent. And this is her dissent that she notably was like, she took out the, like, I respectfully dissent.
Because that's what you'll see the other ones of this say, I respectfully dissent. RBG was like, I don't respectfully dissent.
No.
I simply just dissent.
Yep. Yep. She.
Period.
Period. End of dissent. I dissent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I hope that, like, the justices who were in the opinion, in the majority, just read I dissent and were like, oh my God. How could she just dissent? Clutching their pearls, like, oh my goodness me.
No
Ruth
respect.
Is pissed.
It is the tan suit of the SCOTUS.
Yikes, my gikes.
Yep.
So that's RBG. Next, we'll do Justice David Souter's dissent. So this is what Justice Souter has to say. Quote, unlike the majority, I see no warrant for this court to assume that Florida could not possibly comply with this requirement before the date set for the meeting of electors, December 18th. Although one of the dissenting justices of the state Supreme Court estimated that disparate standards potentially affected 170,000 votes, Gore v. Harris, the number at issue is significantly smaller. The 170,000 figure apparently represents all uncounted votes, both undervotes, those for which no presidential choice was recorded by a machine, and overvotes, those rejected because of votes for more than one candidate. But as Justice Breyer has pointed out, no showing has been made of legal overvotes undercounted, and counsel for Gore made an uncontradicted representation to the court that the statewide total of undervotes is about 60,000. To recount these manually would be a tall order, But before this court stayed the efforts to do that, the courts of Florida were ready to do their best to get that job done. There is no justification for denying the state the opportunity to try to count all disputed ballots now. I respectfully dissent.
Yep.
It's true. He's like, yeah, they were talking about a number that was much larger than what the actual number of recounts we're talking about. We're not talking about doing 170,000 recounts. We're talking about 60,000. Still a lot.
Still
a lot. Florida was already trying to do it.
Yep.
We should allow them to try.
Yes.
I respectfully dissent.
Because what he's saying is like, you have, by declaring this decision, you're saying you don't think that you... that these the officials down in Florida have the capability to do this. And who are you to say what their capability is? They already were doing it. You stopped them from doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, this case was decided on December 11th.
They had 7 days.
They had an entire week.
Yep.
An entire week. Yeah. Yep. Really, really tough. A really tough job.
Yep.
But they should have been allowed to try.
Yep.
They should have been allowed to try.
Yep.
At most, the SCOTUS should have said, if by December 18th the job has not been completed,
yep,
then it is a failure, and therefore the votes go to Bush. You know, like, that's what should have happened.
Something like that. But allow them to try.
Anything like that.
They took
allow
their time
them
away.
To try.
Yep.
Yeah. So that was Souter.
That was Souter. So now we're going to read Justice John Paul Stevens. And I really like his opinion might be my favorite because it's like the most, to me, it was the most like heartfelt. So he says, quote, neither in this case nor in its earlier opinion in Palm Beach County Canvassing Board versus Harris did the Florida Supreme Court make any substantive change in Florida electoral law. Its decisions were rooted in long-established precedent that were consistent with the relevant statutory provisions taken as a whole. It did what courts do. It decided the case before it in light of the legislature's intent to leave no legally cast vote uncounted. In doing so, it relied on the sufficiency of the general, quote, intent of the voter, close quote, standard articulated by the state legislature, coupled with the procedure for ultimate review by an impartial judge, to resolve the concern about disparate evaluations of contested ballots. If we assume, as I do, that the members of that court and the judges who would have carried out its mandate are impartial, its decision does not even raise a colorable federal question.
Boom.
Mm.
What must underlie petitioners' entire federal assault on the Florida election procedures is an unstated lack of confidence in the impartiality and capacity of the state judges who would make the critical decisions if the vote count were to proceed. Otherwise, their position is wholly without merit. The endorsement of that position by the majority of this court can only lend credence to the most cynical appraisal of the work of judges throughout the land. Go off.
Dang.
Go off.
Dang, dang, dang.
Yep. It is confidence in the men and women who administered the judicial system that is the true backbone of the rule of law. Time will one day heal the wound to that confidence that will be inflicted by today's decision. One thing, however, is certain. Although we may never know with complete certainty the identity of the winner of this year's presidential election, the identity of the loser is perfectly clear. It is the nation's confidence in the judge as an impartial guardian of the rule of law. And I respectfully dissent. Go
Dang.
Fucking off. Go,
Go off.
Off. Ugh, it's Go so off. Good. It like turns yeah. me on. It's so good.
Yeah. And that's such an interesting, and so well articulated argument to make, which is like, we are undermining the entire court system.
Yeah.
By saying that they're not impartial.
Yeah.
Like what, I mean, are there courts and are there circumstances where you can be like, yo, you're not impartial?
For sure. For sure.
But we, the Supreme Court, should not be suggesting that.
Yes.
That we should not be judges in the lower court. Yeah. Then saying that they're not impartial.
Yeah.
Crazy. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. It's such a good dissent.
Mm-hmm.
And I love this, like, It did what courts do. It decided the case before it in light of the legislature's intent to leave no legally cast vote uncounted. It was trying to uphold the state's election law rather than like, because what the opinion of the court said was that Florida, you know, that the Supreme Court was trying to make electoral law. Mm-hmm. And what Stevens is saying is like, no. The legislature made a law and this was their law. They had a standard by like how you could by what you could determine the intent of the voter. Yeah. So like the Florida Supreme Court was just trying to like be in keeping with that standard.
Right.
And we as the Supreme Court came in and said, nah, you're good. Sit down.
Yeah. There's not enough time.
No. A week is not enough time. So let's just cut it off at the knees.
Not enough time. Not that time has run out, right?
No.
Not that like this should have been like we are out of time to make this decision.
Yeah.
That there is time remaining and I have decided that it's not enough for you to complete this task.
No.
What a wild, wild decision that has had such lasting implications.
Yes. And like, I just can't imagine, like, who knows what's going to happen on November 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, mm-hmm. like on and on and on.
Yeah.
I just can't imagine. We are in a very different time period from 2000.
Oh, yeah.
And I cannot imagine what would happen if this, like, if something similar came to pass as a result of the 2020 election between Trump and Biden.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, well, you know, you've heard whispers that the Trump campaign will consider going to the Supreme Court to force a decision on November 3rd. And like, that's just so unfathomable to me because you have so many states where they can't even open the absentee ballots until November 3rd.
Yep.
You can't even open the ballot. You can't count the ballots. Not like you have to have the ballots turned in. Like you have the ballots. They can't be opened until November 3rd.
Yep.
And, you know, obviously we're going to be in a very different, you know, we're going to be in a 6-3 court by that point.
Yep.
And it's just like, it's so hard for me to even fathom, regardless of, and this could be a naivete, of course, but regardless of, you know, it being a 6-3 conservative majority court, I'm like, you're talking about if you tried to force a decision on November 3rd, 4th, or 5th, let's say.
Yeah.
Massive voter suppression.
Massive voter suppression, but also just like, I mean, like, I just, like, people would be in the streets as they should be.
Yeah.
As they should be. I mean,
it will be
to insane.
Not count the votes. Because again, Bush v. Gore, you're talking about a recount.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
For this, you're talking about a potential not counting the votes once.
Initial count. Yes.
Initial counts. And we're not talking about like, you know, a small amount. We're talking about a mass amount of absentee voters.
Yep.
That you could potentially not count, like an unprecedented amount of absentee ballots.
Yep.
That would be so, I mean, is it possible? Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. But that would be, I wouldn't be able to wrap my head around that. And I would be so interested to see if that is what they decide. Who writes that opinion?
I honestly don't, like, part of me has a really hard time seeing Roberts
writing that opinion
and even siding with what would be the majority, I'm sure, based on like
I can see him doing some sort of concurring opinion, you know, if he did. I don't see necessarily Roberts swinging that way, but it doesn't matter if he swings the other way because it's still 5-4,
right? It's still 5-4, yep.
But also like it would be very surprising to me.
I actually don't see Gorsuch
or even, I mean, because Kavanaugh has voted a lot with Roberts on bigger things. So that I can also see potentially being a swing, you know, but Gorsuch is one for me where I'm also like, that's wild. Because it's so, To me, that is a huge violation of the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment, is to not have your vote counted. 100%. And let me talk about literal interpretation of the Constitution.
Yep, yep.
So it just would be wild. And I don't know if that's what's going to happen. I just know that's been something that's talked about happening. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but I think it's just keeping in mind that, like, this decision, Bush v. Gore, like, let's talk about precedent, right?
Mm-hmm.
This was in December, you know?
Yeah.
This, like, so to attempt to decide a candidate, like, within 2 days of November 3rd, if it's, you know, if it doesn't happen because, it could happen because there's a landslide, right? That is also a possibility. We just don't know what's gonna happen. Either way.
Yep.
That certainly could be something that happens, but I just, precedent tells us that, like, you can... We're so used to it being an immediate decision, but in actuality, there is so much precedent for it taking time.
Yep.
So I don't know. I don't know.
I know. I just...
I don't even know what to expect.
I know. I can't... I need to be somewhere safe on election day. I need to be... And I don't mean, like, physically safe. I mean, like, mentally.
Emotionally.
Emotionally and mentally safe. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just...
It's going to be a wild, it's going to be a wild day. It's going to be a wild week. It might even be a wild month.
Mm-hmm.
The point is, and what I can just impart to you, our sweet, sweet listeners, is to vote.
Mm-hmm.
To vote early, to vote absentee, or to vote on the day. Just have the plan. All three ways are legitimate and amazing ways to exercise your voice in a sort of very impactful presidential election. And also to take a look at what other things are on the ballot, because there are also huge things on the ballot. You might have a senator race on the ballot. Definitely get out for that. Are you joking? You might have a House race. Definitely get out for that.
You definitely
you might have
a House race.
You might have judges. You might have railroad commissioners. You might have propositions that are huge.
Yeah.
So get out. Vote.
Yep.
So excited for this to happen and also to be over.
Oh, God. I know. Somebody was talking about 2024 the other day, and I literally was like, shut the fuck up.
I don't even know where that is.
I don't even imagine. How could you possibly? What are you talking about?
No.
Shut up.
Mm-mm. No. No, thank you.
Nope.
But please vote. Please get your friends and family to vote. Everybody vote. God help us all. But in the meantime, if you like what you heard, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Let's Get Civical. As I said at the top, you can rate us, you can review us, and you can subscribe to us. We love you so, so much, and we will see you next Wednesday.
Goodbye.